Rony Zone Radio.
What's up, everybody? This is Rony's Own Radio, and this time we're going to be talking about pranks, okay? So, what we want to do first is I want to introduce Mr. William Lundeen on the phone.
Pranks and beans.
And my lovely wife, Colleen, here in the studio.
Hello.
All right. And so, what we want to do is start off with a couple of spotlights. And the first one is the show Phone Losers of America. They have a podcast that's really, really funny. Now, some of them aren't funny as others. Sorry, dude. But that's true. And so, but the one that just made me roll and I laugh over and over and over at is the one where they get in contact with these deaf relay operators. Now, the premise is you type in these messages for these operators, and they have to read exactly what you say. Because the premise is a hearing impaired person will type in this message, and then they will get in contact with somebody who's hearing, and the operator will read the message to them. Okay, that's the premise. So what nobody realizes is those operators have to read exactly what's on the page. So comedy ensues. There's a lot of, you know, abuse, they call it. So certainly we don't recommend that you would do this. But on the show, it's pretty comedic. And they do a Titanic scene with Jack and Rose in the water at the end. And what they do is they type in, you know, they type in one side for one operator. And then they find another operator. And then they type in the other side. And so it's pretty funny, and what we're going to do right now is we're going to play a clip of just a short bit when they had two deaf relay operators speaking the lines to, was it Summer Lovin'?
Summer Lovin' from Greece. Greece.
Okay, here we go.
What is this world coming to? Go ahead.
This is IP Relay Operator 6132.
IP Relay Operator 9518.
Summer Lovin' had me a blast.
Summer Lovin' happened so fast.
I met a girl, crazy for me.
I met a boy, cute as can be.
Summer days drifting away to, those summer nights, go ahead.
Okay, so William, what did you think?
That's pretty funny, and listening to them speak it out, it almost sounds, perfect. The timing, the pauses.
Well, I think there was a little editing.
But even so, it was still hilarious.
Yeah. And what I like is it's so deadpan. It's just, there's just summer love drifting away. Summer nights. You know, so, I don't know what they say most of the time. But anyway, anyway, it goes on and on and on, and it's really funny. And there's also, toward the end of this particular Phone Losers of America podcast, they do a scene from one of the end of, I think it's Austin Powers 1, when Dr. Evil's getting on number 2 about the whole sharks with the lasers on their head. It's just so funny. And, the scene, and then you hear somebody, all I wanted was frickin' sharks with a laser on their head, What do I pay you people? Anyway, so, okay, phonelosers.org is the URL for the Phone Losers of America. They do some illegal things. We do not validate or say you should do anything that they mention on the site, but their podcast is funny, so go ahead and check out their podcast. That's excellent. Read through some of the things on the site. Read what they've done. Certainly don't do it, because some of it, is iffy. And just to let you know, their podcast is a little blue, so there's a little language. So if you're a little uncomfortable with that, just be aware of that. Phonelosers.org. Awesome, awesome. Okay? Anyway, I just keep thinking about that.
Pretty funny stuff there, Jeff.
I can't feel my body, Jack. It's funny. Anyway, okay, I want to talk about Wynn Potter. Because one of the biggest problems with podcasting is explaining this, the whole process of, for instance, okay, William, I mean, what is an RSS feed? Can you kind of break that down for just anybody?
Really simple syndication.
Okay.
Gosh, you know, there was a really good article in is either Business 2.0 or Fast Company recently on it, but
okay.
It's a push technology. When was it? Probably Windows 98, Windows 2000 when that was coming out. Internet Explorer 5, they tried to start putting in active content and tried to do some push stuff, but boy, that didn't work out so well. But RSS comes in where you subscribe to it, and it's kind of like getting the little snippets of news or information, you know. I mean, I'm sure that some of the first applications that would, you got those little ticker things
right.
to do your stocks or the headline of news, but those were all like individually created and crafted. You have to download something to add it to your computer, and maybe it was JavaScript, maybe it was ActiveX or whatever. But by coming up with this more popular and I don't want to say standard, but it becomes one just because it gets used so often, you know, XML-based, you know, subscriptions that give you things that aren't just, you know, weather. And
right.
But, like, you can find out, like, here's a guy, he has a blog, and he updates whenever he feels like it, sometimes twice a day, sometimes once a year. Mm-hmm. Well, at least if you subscribe to it, you could see when something new happens, so you could go and see it. I like using it during football season. I subscribe to this one, and it shows me all the football games that are going on and their scores.
Right.
And so rather than switching back and forth and going to different places, I just drop down that list and I see them all and they get updated every few minutes. And it's really convenient for that.
Now, that is a great snapshot of what an RSS feed is, what it can do, different things. Let's just break it down quickly. A podcast is a recorded file. It's a recording of a show, whatever it is. If somebody talking, some music, some funny stuff, whatever. It's a recorded show. And there is what's called a pod collector. It's also an aggregator. And I think of it like a big magnet. And if you put these RSS feeds in the magnet, then it knows what to kind of pull towards it. And so when somebody like me posts another show and to the RSS feed, then the person that has that big magnet, that aggregator with the same RSS feed, it is sweeping the internet and it sees, okay, there's a new show, and it just kind of sucks it in to the aggregator. Now, there's a lot of aggregators. Let's call them podcast collectors, okay? iTunes is one. There's Juice. There's all kind of different aggregators, and some people use My Yahoo. Some people use Google. It's just kind of introduced that they can. There's a place to do it, but it's difficult to understand the whole process. Now, which brings me to Wynn Potter. Okay.
Right now.
What now?
Wynn.
Now, who's on first? Okay, Wynn Potter. WINPODDER. Now, here's the thing. I think kids who are hip, and especially the geeks, they understand the whole process of, oh, okay, you put a feed in this field and then save it, or click on add feed, and there you go. You've added the feed. That is tough for people who are older, older than me, and it's kind of a tough concept to understand. You put the feed in there, you add to it, then you look for it, and then it brings it up. But this Wynn Potter was created by a guy who created Cast Blaster. Okay, Cast Blaster is a pretty intuitive way to create a podcast. Okay, I still can't get it to work right on my computer, but anyway. So what's cool about Wynn Potter is if you visit a page that has an exposed RSS feed, and you just wait just a second, you hear a little pop, and there'll be a little window at the bottom, and it'll say you have subscribed to whatever. So what you do is you go to like Podcast Alley or wherever there's a directory of podcasts, and you just kind of go to each page. Now, some of them are real easy. you just sit there and you go pop, and there it is. Or you can click on the little where it says RSS feed, or there's a little symbol for a podcast, and it'll bring up the scripting for the RSS feed, and then you can subscribe to all of it. I think it's really cool. Once you get it all set up, you just click on the little icons for your shows, and it'll scan the internet, and it'll show you all the shows that are available. I think it's great, and I think it's much easier for older folks that don't understand podcasting. So, Wynn Potter, go and check it. I think it's WynnPotter.com. Boy, should have found that Earl. But anyway, it's called Wynn Potter.
Does it have like little pop-up ads and stuff?
No.
That's good. I hate those.
And what's nice is it pulls it up into a Windows media player. It also uses Apple, the QuickTime, and you can play it as a stream, and you let it download enough and you can start to scrub through, and if you don't want to hear all the show, whatever. But I like it. I think it makes it a lot easier to just kind of, once you get all your shows put in there, you just click from show to show and all that. And I still think it's funny that a podcast only has one episode from like 2 years ago. It's just funny to me.
Yeah, I think that, you know, that the explosion of how many people say they're doing it,
mm-hmm.
and the lack of depth,
yeah,
is one of the main reasons that you need aggregators, is because, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there, right?
Yeah.
And finding something that you might be interested in, that might have some depth to it, that might have some topical, you know, some timeliness to it, it can be difficult. You could, you know, just like any other search you do out there when you're trying to find something,
mm-hmm.
you have to go through a lot of baloney to find the real good meat.
Right.
And with the aggregators, you know, it gives you a chance to find stuff that sometimes categorized, has tags in it. And so it's like a nice big, you know, place to search for stuff, but it's not like it's random searching. It's stuff that's kind of been, filtered.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe filter is not the right word.
Well, and yeah, you're right. I think the one level is pulling in all the shows that you think you're going to be interested in, and then you can kind of click around and start listening to a couple of the episodes. And if you're not interested, ditch the show. You know, just keep moving. Check out something else. So. Anyway, Wynn Potter, using an aggregator, it's a good idea. Now, the main subject of the show, and this is going to be a lot of fun, and hopefully it'll bring a lot of, hold on.
Do we need to wear anything special for this segment?
No.
All right, because I'll take off my hat then.
Sorry, guys. Anyway, so we're going to talk about pranks. Pranks. Now, the first thing I want to say, some of the... What?
Colleen just pulled a prank on you.
No, it just was hilarious. It just made me laugh. We're going to talk about pranks.
Well, yeah, pranks.
Pranks.
Okay.
The fact that you had to repeat it just made me laugh.
I like that word.
I understand that.
What's that knocking?
It just made me laugh.
Someone at your door, Jeff?
My knees? No.
No.
You got to go check.
Do you hear a knocking?
No.
Colleen, this is a prank I'm pulling on Jeff.
Oh. Okay.
All right. Ooh, even the host of the show gets pranked,
mm-hmm.
from the co-host. Okay, now, for what we're going to be talking about, some you may get in trouble for doing. So please don't do these pranks. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Now, the first groupings we're going to do is, for the most part, for the office. So if you dig ditches or work in a cemetery, I'm sorry. I mean, you know. But most of us work in an office. Now, I know I'm going to get 30 emails from people. No, I'm a sanitation person, and I plant flowers all day. Okay, great. If you don't, you know, we'll have to think of pranks for you.
I'm sure at some point almost every job has a minimum of some paperwork.
Right.
Right.
So once you have paperwork, you know, it could be the office is the back of the truck when you're parked in the parking lot, but
right.
That's it.
Yeah, but this only really works if you have coworkers that you see on a regular basis.
So.
I hate to say it, but it's true.
Okay, so these are office pranks. Now, I'm a little older, so some of these jokes we did kind of before the real corporate, you know, crackdown and all these kind of things. So, again, use your discretion if you feel like performing these pranks.
Yeah, we got rid of all the stagecoach-related pranks.
All right. So the first one is the famous hiding the mouse ball. I love that one. Because
does it piss off the mouse?
Well, sure. It's hard to find. But then, you take the mouse ball, and my thing was you always hide it on the desk of the person. Because I felt like anything else was just really bad.
Yeah, that's going overboard. Which, if you actually still find a person with a mouse ball, that in and of itself right there is just amazing.
Yeah.
Most people don't have mouse balls anymore.
Ah, but I have an answer for that.
You're just a techno snob.
I have an answer for that. So, okay, so the optical mouse obviously had no ball that you could take out and hide. So, but what you can do is tape a piece of paper over the optical hole.
I did that just the other day, actually.
That's just beautiful.
It's hilarious.
That's just beautiful.
Because it looks like the mouse is broken and doesn't work. I've actually had coworkers try to call desktop support and say, my mouse doesn't work, I need a replacement. And we were like, stop.
Well, you know what else you can do, too, with the ones that need batteries? You just put the batteries back in backwards.
Oh.
Because then they go, oh, I think I need new batteries. And, you know, either they go and get some new batteries, okay, well, shame on them. Or they have someone check it out, and they go, you're a dork. You put the batteries in backwards. See the little plus sign? That's for the top. You need to go to a how to use batteries class.
It's probably, yeah. There's a web-based training module for that company, probably.
They no can doubt.
Okay, now, Mr. Lundeen, you were saying that you had a job at one time.
Yeah.
Where you're making phone calls, and you were talking about having fun with the phone.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Especially, you know, I had one where we did a lot of outbound calls and a lot of inbound calls. And in particular,
as opposed to
when we're getting the inbound calls, there'd be like the phone ringing and the manager would be, someone get the phone!
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you wouldn't want to, and other times people would be like scrambling to be the first one to grab it. And so one of the pranks to do would be to just lightly disconnect the headset cord.
Oh.
Yes.
Because it has that little clicking thing, and you just kind of squeeze it and pull it out just a little bit.
Yeah, that's pretty easy to figure out, because usually they pick it up, and then they go, what the heck's going on? And then something dangling hits them in the chest or the arm, and they go, oh, darn it.
Mm-hmm.
And they might not realize that it was done intentionally. But if you want to make it a little bit more obvious, the other one is a lot of handsets, when you put down the phone, there's a little flap that basically tells the phone whether it's connected or disconnected. When you pick up the phone, the pressure releases and it comes up, and now you can talk. So one of the things to do is tape that part down.
Mm-hmm.
So they pick up the handset, and the phone just keeps ringing, and they have to, like, figure it out, peel the tape off. And by then, usually it's hung up or someone else grabs it. That's kind of funny.
Nice.
Sometimes in an office, you'll have buttons on the phone. And if you actually get a hold of the manual for the phone, sometimes you can reprogram the buttons.
Oh.
There might be a button that says transfer and one that says mute. If you're clever enough, you could switch those.
Nice.
That's funny. The other one is if they have speed dial buttons mm-hmm. or phone numbers already programmed in.
Oh.
One way is to basically reprogram them. I had one where, you know, there was like 8 buttons and everyone would like keep their little short list, you know, on this little sliding tray beneath it of what those phone numbers were.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have some fun with, you know, just reprogram them all off by 2 or something like that. So when they, you know, there's one that calls the boss's cell phone and one that calls their girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
and you swap those.
No.
And maybe one that calls the wife, one that calls the mistress, you swap those. Not that anyone would ever do that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. What are some other goofy little ones to do with the phone? We had ones where we'd do transfers, where you'd call like a fax machine,
mm-hmm.
and then you'd transfer it to someone else's desk.
Right.
That's always a good one.
Nice.
Yeah.
We did a similar one where we would call every time this guy would walk away from his desk, the phone would ring. So we got annoyed with it, and we would we would call time, you know, at the tone, the time will be.
Mm. Oh.
And we would transfer that to his phone, and it would leave him a voicemail. Or we'd transfer it right as he's walking back in, and he'd pick up the phone, hello, hello. At the tone, the time will be. And then he'd be like, oh, man, I keep getting the time. Mm. Somebody keeps calling. The time keeps calling me.
There was a gal that worked at my office, and she was a, you know, very short, attractive, everything going for her, gal. And so my goal in life was just to pester her. So I transferred the time to her all the time. And so she finally learned my, you know, my name would come up. She goes, I'm not answering that, Jeff. And so I go to every other phone. I go all the way, all around the building, and then transfer the phone to her. And she just finally gets so mad. You know, what, Jeff? I go, I just want to know what time it is. So, anyway, don't choke there.
That's evil.
Well, yeah.
I mean, in a good way.
Right. You know, I think unhooking the network cable, you know.
Or like for a computer?
Yeah. I mean, that's always fun.
Good times.
We had a big class, and all of the software trainers were together, and so I unplugged the network cable to the guy in front of me, and so he went around back and bopped me in the back of the head. So, you know, you got to be careful, you know, with who you do it to and what you're doing. So, anyway, also, again, a lot of these just, you know, use your discretion and don't blame us if you get fired. Okay. In the olden days, I would go into compadre's computer and change her speed, her autocorrect. And I typed in her name, and then I typed in change to princess. So she was she was typing a memo to her boss, you know, and she goes, princess, what's going on? And yeah, because it only works in Word, and but you know, Word works in, you know, Outlook and all this kind of stuff. So
right.
That's kind of funny. Please don't put curse words in there. I specifically put in princess because, you know, it's kind of fun.
It's kind of fun.
But anyway, again, you know, getting into somebody's computer doing that. I mean, the old days of, you know, sending in emails with a little exe that'll open your CD-ROM for a drink or something, you know.
Yeah.
Those days are over. And
well, not necessarily. Well, not necessarily. Okay. And why I say this is because in our department, my people know that if you leave your computer open, which is they're not allowed to do when they walk away, if you right. leave it open, you are fair game for anything.
Okay.
And usually what happens is emails will go out, I'm buying drinks for everyone after work, or lunch is on me today, or telling the boss, I couldn't hold back anymore. I'm so in love with you. And it didn't matter if it's male or female. It will come from anybody. And we have, you know, full stories of, I can't take it anymore. I'm running away to join the circus. And the next time the same person does it again, the saga continues. Mm. So we've done that. Or we set the out-of-office reminder so that every time they send an email, out-of-office pops up for everybody. And there's something funny in the out-of-office. Mm. The other one was a rule that every time the emails came in from any one of us, we would get an email message back that says, you know, I've had it with all of you, you're driving me nuts. I mean, just really funny stuff.
Oh, some simple stuff to do. I mean, if you, once you do have access to a computer, you know, it's scary.
Yeah, but, it is.
Simple ones to have fun with are, like if they use a word processing program that has a spell check,
mm-hmm.
You can like teach it certain words as being, you know, part of the dictionary. Like, A, you could take some of their common misspellings and just save it, so now it doesn't show up as a misspelling.
Oh, no.
So you could take, like, T-E-H, and rather than having it replace it with T-H-E, mm-hmm. have it, you know, be a regular word. you could sometimes also tell it to auto, you know, teach it to auto-correct words so that
right.
maybe rather than when they type T-E-H, it auto-corrects to T-H-E, it auto-corrects to I can't spell. you know, that's kind of evil. The other one is if they have in their email program a address book or a list of contacts or something like that, And some of them will let you, like, sort of type a few letters, and then it sort of guesses based on what you already have in there.
Right.
So you could, like, maybe I had an entry in there for Roni,
mm-hmm.
J,
mm-hmm.
and it pulled up that person's email address, jeff.roni@gmail.com, for mm-hmm. instance. Well, I could go in and maybe change it, you know, to something else,
right.
like spam@ftc.gov or something.
Right.
Or
join AOL.com, something.
Right, or you you change an entry for a name to a distribution list. So now when they think they're mailing it to one person, it's really going to a whole bunch of people.
Nice. That's evil.
Scary.
Yeah, another thing I've done, and this is sort of passive-aggressive, but I used to get a lot of emails, and I still do, where people, you know, they're talking to me or someone else, but they've made sure to CC or include a bunch of other people.
Right.
Mainly because I think that they're, you know, scared of me.
Yeah.
Or they just can't talk one-on-one. They need a group. So I started doing things. And then what gets annoying then is then they have a question, they reply to all, and and it just keeps going, and no one really wants to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to add names in there like Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck. I just make stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
And which then when they go to do a reply to all, you know, they keep having to check, oh, I can't find this name. Oh, or they get all these messages back about the emails being bad. And so it's my little way. But yeah, with email and spell check, you can do a lot of devious things.
Absolutely. And one of the other ones you can do is you can set a reminder, a recurring appointment on their calendar for just about anything.
Mm.
You know, 2 o'clock
tea
in
time.
The afternoon, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, time for my tea and scones, and mm-hmm. or time to see how I look in tights.
And I've missed that appointment a few times, but I got to get back on the ball.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, if you do it, unfortunately, if you have somebody who's a little bit blonde, shall we say?
Yeah.
They don't get that it's going to continue to pop up every day until they get rid of the appointment.
Oh.
So it's hilarious to watch them get all frustrated. I don't understand why this appointment keeps coming up. Or you have them, you know, set a reminder to go see somebody at that time, and that person, you know, I didn't set this for you. What are you talking about? So
one of my favorites pranks is to hide their chair. And
hide their chair?
Yes.
Oh no!
You mm-hmm. know, when you live in Cuba, you know, cubicle land. You, everyone has their cube and their chair. So, my famous one was to take the chair and put it in the elevator. That was always my favorite, because then people, you know, ride in the elevator, think it's just a great little wow. There's a seat here. It's like trading places. This is amazing. I can sit down and ride one floor up. This is great. So, you know, and then I'd hear Jeff, and say, "Yes, may I help you? My chair is gone." You know, this building was built on a slant, and you're going to find that chairs just kind of roll around, you know? I mean, it's hard to understand, but, I mean, if you kind of check around, you're going to find it, you know, and it's in the conference room. And it's even funnier if there's a meeting going on. Excuse me, I have to get my chair. Jeff Roni, he's such an idiot, you know? So, hiding chairs, that's great. A couple of other little fun chair things is to, again, be careful with this, people. You can hurt people's heads. Lower the chair or make the chair higher. It's because everyone's used to how their chair is. And so, you know, they sit down, they fall down, you know.
Oh, people get so completely crazy when you mess with their chair.
Yeah.
Oh, and if they're wheelie chairs?
Yeah.
Yes.
Sometimes between the roller or the ball,
mm-hmm.
you can, like, take, like, a pin cap or something like that. Basically jam them so they don't roll.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
That'll get people very frustrated.
That's dastardly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, there was a gal that I used to work with years ago. And
you really pick on the women, don't you?
Yeah. And I left her a message, and I just kind of picked a random person. I go, please see me, and I just put the other person's name. So I'm sitting on my desk just biting my lip and blood's coming down my chin because it's just so funny. She's going, where is so-and-so sit? Where is this person? You know, and I think I may have said, I think over there in that direction there. And she's kind of waving. It's funny. It's like a flag. She's waving this and walking around. Where is so-and-so? Hi, I'm this person, and you need to see me? I swear, as I'm sitting here, in about 10 seconds, they were both in front of my cube. What are you doing? And I said, well, congratulations. This week is meet a coworker that you don't know week. And congratulations, you have met each other. And they just stomped away. Jeff, I hate you. I'm like, well, get in line, you know? So, another funny thing is to leave a note or some type of message that either someone's lights are on in their car or the big wig manager needs to see you. One of the greatest ones that I ever pulled off about that is he went down to the county manager's office and knocked. He goes, you need to see me? The county manager looked back at him and goes, I think somebody played a joke on you. And he looked back and he goes, you know, I think you're right. He walked out. That was just, oh man. Yeah, that was funny. Anything on that? Anybody?
Okay. No.
Any final things?
Well, I don't know if this is completely related, but sometimes for some of those messages, like voicemails,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's to their desk phone or maybe it's just a message in an email, I like to leave out one digit of a phone number. one of my favorites we used to do to a roommate I had in college was we'd call up, me and the other roommate, we'd be out someplace. We'd be like, hey, Alan, this is Bill and Dan. We're down at the Bears Lair, and we just ran into name of girl that he's been lusting after. And she's going to be here for a while. But she might be leaving. Anyway, she says that you ought to call her. Yeah, listen, her number is 555-121. Yeah. I did another version of that was actually pretty mean, where you kind of knew. And usually you'd get these numbers by, you know, a bad phone call, or you knew someone's parents or grandparents' phone number.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd call, and maybe it's not someone that you know even, but you'd be like, hello, mom, or hello, grandma, hi, this is you know, your son or your grandson or whatever, and I'm down at the airport, and it's been a while. I know I didn't really say that, but could you pick me up? It's kind of scary. I would be hanging out by this payphone. I'm sort of, well, I can't reach. Anyway, you can reach me back at, and then you leave out one or two of the digits phone number.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we thought that was funny.
Oh, my God.
Actually,
I think about it, it's kind of evil.
I just remembered one that you played, Jeff, mm-hmm. on your coworkers.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff had this very elaborate email that he sent. He's remembering it all of a sudden.
Yeah, you'll remember too.
You should remember this too, because I think you were a victim, unfortunately. Hey, you guys aren't going to believe this. I found this great new spa over in Orange. It's the Serengeti Spa.
Oh, man.
And if you call and ask for Mr. Lion... He will give you the discount, and this is what it is. And it was, you know, a full massage. It was this. It was the tons, and it was like for $100. It was a ridiculous deal. And he gave the phone number. And when everybody called the phone number, it was the local zoo. Now, he spelled Mr. Lion L-Y-O-N,
right.
So people wouldn't think anything of it. But that
Lion,
is actually
Lion.
A...
I have to admit, that one backfired on me.
I know.
It did backfire on him a little bit, but I haven't played that one on people, and I need to do that one now.
Yeah.
I think that's one I'm going to have to resurrect.
No, I had a number of people after I sent that on, because I thought it was just a bomb.
Oh, yeah.
And they were just so upset. I mean, I had one of them, actually. It wasn't that there was the thing, but it was something like they had been out or something, and they got it later, and so I couldn't convince them. Well, it's not April 1st anymore, and I'm like, okay, but I can't control when you read it, you know?
Right.
And another person was like, well, no, I don't know what they dialed. But they got someone who just told them that the offer expired.
That's awesome.
And I was like, oh my gosh, I wish I knew the number. Because that person.
That is.
What a champ.
Oh, man.
That is freaking awesome. That is awesome. Oh, my God. That is awesome. Well, you know what's funny, too, about. I do remember another one we used to do with. We used to do with one of my coworkers. I shared an office with him for about 8 months. And he was the sweetest person, but he was just a little bubble-headed sometimes. And so he would he'd leave the office frequently, go out on a smoke break or whatever, and he'd come back, and his phone would have, you know, he'd have a message on there. Well, I got one of our other teammates to leave a message on his phone saying, hey, I need to see you when you get a chance. Come talk to me. Or give me a call when you get a chance. I need to talk to you about something. And I'm sitting there, I'm trying so hard not to laugh because he called him back and he kept saying, no, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't leave you a message. He goes, yeah, you totally left me this message. He goes, no, I didn't leave you a message. He had him finally convinced that he was actually, like, going crazy. It was quite hilarious. And then he finally figured out what it was, but that was always funny.
Now, we've talked about some probably mean jokes. This is somewhere in the evil area. One of the things... And you have to...
Wait, I got another one. And he actually used to do... It wasn't so much a prank as it was just something funny to do, because he'd call his friend at work all the time. And there were only like 6 or 7 employees in the whole entire company. And he'd call his friend, and the receptionist would always answer the phone, so she had to know his voice after a while. He would call and ask for his friend, and she would, of course, say, may I say who's calling? And he would make up the funniest names that were just ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, hilarious names every time. And she'd say, okay, one moment, please. And she'd try to, like, recreate the name when she'd, you know, tell the guy that it was, you know, his friend on the phone for him. But it was a funny thing because she didn't get it. She never got that it was the same guy. Or if she did, she played it off really well.
Oh, man.
Yeah, go ahead.
Then, now, be very careful if you ever do this joke. Make sure that you know exactly who is in the restroom if you do this. And now everyone's interested. when you're in a business restroom... And let's say your buddy's in the next stall over. You shut the light off when you leave.
That could be scary.
I don't know a funnier joke than that. I mean, there's just so many levels to it. One, I mean, it's scary to be in the dark. Two, doing your business in the dark. Three, then you have to get out and find your way. And then if somebody comes in... And they don't know if there's a problem, and maybe they can kind of prop the door open. And then they hear somebody else in there. What's this other guy doing in the dark? You know, I mean, it's just so funny. And, oh, man.
What I haven't done myself, but someone mentioned, was if you're in the situation where that you know that there is someone in the other stall,
mm-hmm.
Before you leave the stall that you're in for whatever purpose, takes a little bit of quietness or whatever, but you take, like, if there's spare rolls of toilet tissue there,
right.
You take one and you sort of dunk it in the bowl.
Oh.
And then, you know, you make some noises, you know, now with the other one, like you're trying to get it and you go, oh, shoot. Like it's out. And, and then you make the noises like you're getting some more. And now you drop it and let it roll under into the other stall, this damp roll of toilet paper, and then you start reaching under there for it, possibly bumping into their ankle or their shoe or whatever. And then you go, oh, I'm sorry, you got any spare paper? It's kind of one of those funny,
oh man,
yeah.
The
or now if you have a chance when you go in there and there's nobody in there,
right,
you can sort of prep it for some fun.
Yes.
Without having extra accessories, you can do things like, you know, remove the toilet paper.
Right.
Or you turn it backwards. Mm-hmm. And, well, this one takes extra accessories. If you have any tape, you tape that sheet so it's taped against the back of the wall.
Uh-huh.
So they go to turn it, and either it doesn't turn, or when it turns, they never get to the end of the sheet. It just keeps unraveling inside the dispenser.
Yeah.
That's kind of fun. Another one is the ubiquitous saran wrap over the toilet bowl.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's kind of dangerous and messy.
Right.
Yeah.
Or if you had, like, some lemonade or like 7-Up, mm-hmm. some clear liquid that has sugar in it.
Yeah.
You sort of pour that on the floor and let it dry. Now it's sticky.
Oh. Yeah, okay. No more of that.
Okay, stop.
Yeah.
Bad word.
You know, when I was like 7 or 5, you know, used to, you know, lock the stall and then crawl out under, you know. can't do that now. Life has a way of changing you. So anyway, moving on. The remote fart machine. Now that's kind of fun. It's probably been overplayed.
Yeah. But it's still pretty funny though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, I'm your non-battery operated one, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, we had one of the guys slip one into another guy's jacket pocket when he came back from the restroom. And then stood there and had the remote control and let it go off, and everyone kind of looked at it funny. And even he didn't know where it came from. He was like all freaked out and thought it was somebody else, and it was kind of funny.
Now, Mr. William, you were saying something about desktop JPEG something. Oh
yeah.
Once again, this is a computer access thing, but it's my all-time favorite, mm-hmm. and it's especially good to play on the older folks.
Mm-hmm.
I was really tempted to do it to my mom once, but she was having other issues with her modem, and so I didn't do it. But all right. So you're looking at someone's computer desktop, and often, you know, some people organize theirs very neatly and customize its look and arrange things around the edge or in groups. And other people just have let every program in the world that wants to sticks an icon on their desk. How they find anything, I have no idea.
Right.
And there's people who don't even know about start menus and other places to go to start your programs. They just go straight to the desktop and double-click on whatever they have there. So a fun thing to do with that is using the print screen key. On most keyboards that haven't been remapped, will take a picture of whatever you're looking at.
Right.
And so you do this with no applications up, so you basically get a picture of the entire computer screen.
Mm-hmm.
Gently edit it, and you know, don't need to buy a fancy program for this. In fact, Paint is probably the best, because on most of the ones with Microsoft Windows ever since 95 will have this for free, and it's easy to find. Edit out some of the edge stuff. Save it as a JPEG,
mm-hmm.
JPG file. It's Joint Progressive, but I don't know what the heck it stands for anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can do it with a PNG in the future. Anyway, you save that. You could do it as a bitmap. That might actually be better. But anyway,
yeah.
And then
Paint
you set
bitmap.
This now. Sometimes it lets you customize the background. A lot of people customize the background of their desktop. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes it's just blue or green or
wallpaper.
Whatever, or has some sort of image.
Ricky Martin, Britney Spears,
company,
yeah.
But you can mm-hmm. pick a picture. A lot of people do this. So you make that the picture for the background.
Mm-hmm.
Then, just to give them a chance, you make like maybe a new little folder on there. Maybe just call it A or something. But, you know, it's not too noticeable. Take all their other desktop icons and drag them and stick them in that folder. That now there's probably only... And you might have to go into settings if you really want to get rid of, like, their My Computer and stuff like that.
Oh.
You just drag all their icons off their desktop, stick them in this little folder so they can get them back.
Mm-hmm.
And now, but it looks like they have icons on their desktop because you have the picture of them.
Right.
And now they go and double-click on stuff and nothing happens. I actually had one person basically end up, I saw... couple hours later, they had IT support down there.
Yeah,
and I'm like, well, what's going on? Oh, well, we're reimaging the computer. It stopped working. I go, his computer stopped working. Yeah, we checked it out. It you couldn't run any programs on it. And I'm like, I kind of thought, well, you know what? They're going to waste that time because they're kind of stupid. But it's still funny.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Gives them something to do.
And the thing is, someone else said, well, how do I know where to put the icons back? And I said, you've got a picture.
Oh, boy. Now, I have never done this. I've thought of doing this, but methinks William maybe has. Now, there are people in our life, and for whatever reason, we may want to bother them. And so when you're like at the county fair or some type of convention, there's just rows and rows of areas to fill out little cards to win awards or win little prizes or something. You know, basically it's just to collect information to send mail to your house or email, you know, if you include that as well. Now, if you have all that information and you have someone in your past, let's say, that you want to really pester, you could just go up and down, you know, get a hot dog and start filling out some. Yeah, I want to win this. Yeah, sure, sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Somebody did that to me, and it was for a dating service. I got phone calls every week. Hey, would you like to join our dating service? No, thank you. But are you dating anyone at the time? No. And after a while, I kind of started saying, yeah, actually, I met someone. Oh, but you're not engaged? No, not yet. But, you know, it's pretty serious. And after 3 months, we were getting married in 2 weeks. Because I couldn't handle. I said, take me off the list. We're getting married in 2 weeks. Yeah, but you're not married right now.
So, I mean, in effect, that prank actually got extended into overtime because of the marriage.
Yeah.
So, just kidding.
It wasn't Jeff.
Have you ever done that, Mr.
Williams? I think once or twice, and it was part of the herd mentality. I was with some other giggling fools.
Okay.
Where we have filled out, you know, the things where, you know, you could win a gym membership, but really now they're going to send you a bunch of spam stuff. I've done one, though, where we were bored sitting in a library thumbing through the magazines, and they have these great little things you can use as bookmarks, but I guess they're really meant to get them more revenue. You know, the 75 subscription cards that fall out of those magazines?
Uh-huh.
So those are fun for just taking notes or signing your buddies up for magazines.
Yeah.
Nice.
We used to sign them up for magazines, you know, like whatever the equivalent was for Mary Bell you know, just kids' magazines, women's magazines, you know, Field and Stream, you know, Guns and Ammo. And, you know, that way they get their first issue, then they got to cancel them. You know, that's kind of a fun little afternoon time killer.
Okay. Birthdays are always fun at an office.
I hate birthdays.
Mm-hmm.
And there's...
Most people are nice and decorate the desk and what have you.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways that you can handle birthdays at somebody's desk, so... I mean, let's talk about a couple of different ways that...
Okay, hole punch. Take all the hole punchy things out of a hole puncher, and you can scatter them around the desk, and that's just, considered decorations. But you can also do it so that when they pull out a drawer or, like, a keyboard tray,
right,
that then they fall out of that. So maybe they won't find this until a few days later or hours later, but they pull a drawer out, and now all these dots fall over the floor.
Nice.
You could also have done that with their phone handset or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
The other decorating things you can do for fun and frolic for a birthday. You know, the same thing with the desktop screensaver.
Right.
You know, so your background. Congratulations, you're older and you look it.
Well, yeah, change the marquee screensaver to say, you know,
We had someone, whatever. And I don't know how they did this, but it was awfully clever. They faked up a letter from the DMV saying that because of their age, they had to come in and get an eye exam and a written driving test the next day.
Oh, no.
You know, and it was worded with things like, well, we found that our elderly drivers, and I think this was for someone's 40th birthday. So
oh, man. Oh, man.
Yeah.
So there's balloons, you fill office with the balloons, you fill office with wadded pieces of paper, you fill offices with packing peanuts, whatever. I mean,
yeah. And we did fill my boss's office with balloons when he was on vacation. It wasn't for birthday, but we did do it for we bought about 300 balloons, and it was only about knee high. But it was, the office was full, and he had a window on the side of his door, and we had to wrap it with balloon covered wrapping paper.
Were these black balloons?
No, they were multicolored balloons, and we spent an entire day filling them up.
That's fun.
Yeah, it was. It was actually a lot of fun. If it had been a smaller office, it would have been a lot bigger and a lot more.
Now, I heard of a very expensive prank that one of the operation managers had played on them by one of their senior sales reps.
Mm-hmm.
Someone in the parking lot where I work, actually, across the parking lot,
mm-hmm.
where they actually, they had done something where they had brought chickens into this person's office.
Oh, wow. No.
As a prank. They put like 3 or 4 chickens in there. And so as revenge for the chicken one, this other person had mentioned, you know, how much they were looking forward to going on a vacation to a tropical place where they're going to be doing a lot of sunning and sailing and that sort of, you know, ocean and beach-related activities. So about 2 days before that, what they did was they redid the office with, you know, a potted palm, some, you know, a big picture of the sun, and a complete covering of about 3 or 4 inches of sand.
Oh!
And they made sure to put in a lot of the suntan lotion with the whole thick, rich pina colada, cocoa butter smell
mm-hmm.
in with the sand and the other stuff. They said, yeah, it took a long time to clean up, and the smell lingered for a long time.
Oh, my
gosh. And they both still have their jobs, as far as I know. I mean, they're doing well.
Wow.
Wow.
But, that one took a little bit of timing and effort, but I could just imagine opening the office and coming in and crunch sand. Smells like a beach party in here.
Oh, my gosh. That's funny, though. But that is an elaborate prank. That is a very elaborate and very expensive prank.
Okay, we're going to stop it right there, and we're going to leave some more fun for next time. But what I want to tell you is that JRDOnline.com, we have a new message board. And to start it off, we have included a section in the general comments about pranks. So the URL for the forums is jrd-now.com/forum. So type that in, go to the forums. We have areas for the videos, for all the shows, and for, in general comments, pranks. So listen to the show, enjoy it, and if you've tried any of these pranks, or if, you know, you like them or whatever, put in your thoughts on that. But if you have other pranks that maybe you want us to include in future shows about pranks, let us know. We don't know them all, but we just want to get our ideas out there and so you guys can have fun safely and keep your job. So anyway, check out the message boards, put in your feedback, put in your new pranks and everything like that. Also, an email would be great. jeff.roney@gmail.com, or you could just visit the site jrdonline.com. We're going to continue our prank show next time, and we have a lot more pranks, a lot more things to talk about. Who knows, we could just continue on with this subject for a long time. We've done some other recordings. We've done a show recording, Is Star Wars Dead? We've also, there's a couple of backlog shows about travel that we're going to release. So, you know, we're still trying to kind of hit all over the place and not just focus on one subject. So just be aware, it's still a potpourri of subjects. So thank you for listening, and we will see you again next time.
Roney Zone Radio.